This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Talk radio right here on America Now with Barb Adams.
All right, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to Barb Adams Live here. Thanks so much for joining me for this hour of the show. Well, you know, we all study American history at some point in our education. But I think a lot of us don't know that before World War II exploded into the lives of Americans, there was a Japanese spy ring operating along the west coast between Canada and Mexico. Well, during this hour, we're going to hear about the untold story of Japanese spies in the U.S. with my guest, award-winning writer, actress, and teacher, Denise Frisino. She's written an engaging novel of historical fiction entitled Orchids of War. If you'd like lots more information about Denise and all of her work, visit her website, DeniseFrisino.com, and that's F-R-I-S-I-N-O. Again, DeniseFrisino.com. Denise, welcome.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Well, thanks for coming back to the show. You know, this is an interesting book. What compelled you, Denise, to research this topic and then write the book?
Well, when I was researching my first book, Whiskey Cove, I was interviewing a gentleman, and he said, "Oh, honey, prohibition is nothing." I looked at him. I thought, all right, fine. And he told me of the story of a Caucasian woman who was a student at the University of Washington, and she was proficient in the Japanese language. And when the FBI found out about her, they came and they took her to bars in San Francisco, dressed her like a hooker, and had her interpret the conversations that were being said at the table, posing as, you know, a streetwalker. No one would have thought that she could understand every word they were saying, and she would then give them the information that was being said at these tables. And that just struck home. I thought, heavens to Betsy, who has ever heard of a story such as this? So I began researching, and lo and behold, I found out through another person I interviewed, Captain Dick McNeese, who was actually the first person shot at Kaneohe Bay in the morning of December 7th, that there had been a competition at the University of Washington that summer, and the prize was a trip to Japan. And he said, "Denise, what would have happened if I had won and gone to Japan right before the war broke out?" So through interviews like this, even though I was unable to locate the actual woman, through interviews like this, I was able to piece together and then use this information to help, you know, weave my story together and make it more engaging and more factual along the way.
Now, you've made, obviously, the story, it is fictional, it's historical fiction, but you do have facts in there. But some of the facts, again, are going to be a little controversial about all of this, because I think many people obviously didn't really understand about the spies or spy rings and what happened. You know, we knew about the Japanese being interned during the war, but as far as this entire spy ring and how all of this worked out, it's quite interesting. And, of course, I'm not going to give away any of it because it's in the book. You know, I encourage you to read the book and really think about this. But, you know, let's go back to your research, Denise, because how long did it take you to research this, and what type of research, actual research, did you do to get the information you got?
Along with personal interviews, I would, if I saw, anyone walking with a World War II hat on, I would run up to them and I'd say, "Excuse me, may I please interview you?" So I had several, I think my last count was over 60 individuals, men and women, who lived during this time period and were active in World War II. I read numerous books, along with At Dawn We Slept, which is by Gordon Prang, which is kind of the Bible of the attack on the preparation for the attack on Pearl Harbor. In his book, he states that Yamamoto proposed the attack in January of 1941. So they were actually planning this, the attack. They built an island that looked like Pearl Harbor, and they practiced for months the attack so that they were ready. It wasn't, hey, it's Sunday, let's go drop some bombs. It was so precisely put together. And for that, they needed the information. And so they had these spies up and down the West Coast. They had them set up in Mexico for after the attack to continue the spy ring, and all the way up through Canada and along our coast. The FBI records will show you that there were spies overlooking places like Boeing, our Boeing fields, our construction of our warplanes, our naval bases. And they had quite a ring going that was transferring through the consulates the information back to Japan. And so along with my reading, my interviews, watching, you know, videos, reading magazines, anything I can to, and then the information just found me. Once I got started, I had literally miracles along the path of having this information, this volume, this very deep and very precise history laid before me.
And yeah, you mentioned getting a lot of the information through FBI files and that all of that probably through the Freedom of Information Act. But as well, you talk about a miracle. You actually got to meet Dr. Donald Raleigh, who had been on the deck of the USS Maryland that fateful morning of December 7th. How did you actually happen to meet him, and how did it change your view of Pearl Harbor?
It was one of those things. I went to visit one of my old teachers. She was a nun, and she said, and she had some people visiting her, and they said, oh, you need to meet Dr. When I told them what the book was about, because they'd read and enjoyed my first book, they said, oh, you need to meet Dr. Raleigh. And so they put me in touch with him, and sitting in the presence of these gentlemen and women who served and watching their eyes mist while they tell their stories has been one of the most rewarding aspects of this book. It's, meeting the man who was quoted in At Dawn We Slept. And here's another little thing. I had read the section about him the night before I interviewing him, not knowing it was him.
Wow.
He was an ensign who had come up on board, looked up through his telescope when he saw this plane, and all of a sudden he saw these little brown things coming down. He goes, you know, man at arms, everyone at arms, everyone get ready, get ready. And he was yelling, and they said, they literally said, this is no shit, because it was not a practice drill. I've interviewed people who were on the island and thought, and said to themselves, oh boy, somebody's going to get in trouble for this practice, because there were so many explosions going on that the rest of the island, who was unaware of what was happening at Pearl Harbor, actually thought that the drills had gone a little bit overboard. And we're not aware that we're actually under attack.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, and you emphasize this in your book, too. You know, it's hard to believe that we were taken so by surprise on this one, because they knew war was coming. You know, we felt it, we knew it, we had intelligence going along those lines, and yet the surprise of this was amazing. You know, espionage for military purposes is very well documented. So there seemed to be this lack of information there on the intelligence end with what happened, and I want to get into that. We're going to be heading to a break here very shortly. So when we come back, let's talk about that, because, you know, throughout history, we've always had espionage, spies on both sides. So it's a little stunning that we could have been so surprised. All right, stick with us. We're going to be heading to a break here now, and when we come back, we're going to hear more from Denise Frisino on Orchids of War, about the Japanese spy ring that was going on here in the U.S., right before World War II and our involvement.
Hey, America Now presents 2 Minutes with Ken Goldstein.
Barb Adams here. I'm being rejoined this hour by my author friend out in Los Angeles, Ken Goldstein. Ken's the author of This Is Rage and Endless Encores. Ken, commercial email overload. What are some tips for managing our inboxes more effectively?
Well, I look at it from the seller side, from the store side, and if they're not treating you with respect, I'd get off that list. And so it really is it a quality email? Is it targeted? Is it something that's within your interest, something that you want to buy? Is it well presented? Is it well designed? Is it a good offer? Is it 10% off? Is it $5 off, something that you care about? Are they sending it to you in reasonable intervals? Are they sending it to you once or twice a week, not three times a day? If they say it's urgent, you have to act before noon. Are they just making that up or is it real? And also, does it configure to your device? Is it something you can read on an iPhone? Is it something you can read on an Android phone? Is it designed for you, to be able to consume it and read it? So if they don't meet that criteria, that's a lousy list. Get off.
Ken, all those commercial emails aren't free. How's this commercial email costing us all billions of dollars?
Well, I don't know that it's costing us billions of dollars. It's just a different form of advertising. You watch TV, you see commercials, you listen to the radio, you hear commercials, you look at magazines, you see advertisements, you go to websites, you see advertisements. And this is a way for stores and businesses and services to put offers in front of you. And if the offers are good and the products are good and the services are good, you should enjoy those and you should use the coupons. There's nothing wrong with it. I use them every day. It's when they're not relevant and the offers aren't fair, and the offers aren't good, and they take advantage of you. That's when you're going to be feeling like you're taken advantage of, and that's a list that you should get off.
All right, we're going to hear more from Ken Goldstein next week.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Non attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
ProPure Water Filters, making water great again. Taste and feel the difference with state-of-the-art filter technology. Pro-1 G2.0 and Pro-Max filters are independent lab-tested to NSF standards. Choose from gravity, countertop, pitcher, shower, and inline filtration products. There's a ProPure for you. Buy risk-free today. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, Barb Adams.
We're hearing about the untold story of Japanese spies in the U.S. during World War II with my guest this hour, Denise Frisino, her book, Orchids of War. And Denise, right before the break, we were talking about, you know, espionage for military purposes, well documented throughout history. So why, you know, why did we get so surprised during Pearl Harbor? And then after all of this, even today, so many of us don't even know out there in public knowledge about this Japanese firing.
Well, thank you for asking that, because that is, of course, the crux of the whole story here, is that we have had blinders on, and not, this is a subject matter that has not come to the forefront for years. In my research, and one of the great books for it is The Final Secret of Pearl Harbor by Rear Admiral Robert A. Thorvald. He talks about where all the mistakes happened. And he also brings to question, which is a question that has been raised before, is how much did Roosevelt really know, and what was his motivation behind allowing us to be drawn in, or for us planting the seeds to, for Japan to attack us, to draw us into the war? Because the American people were extremely lethargic. They did not want war. They were, but on the other hand, the military was building up because they were quite aware that it was an eventuality. And so there was this tug of war amongst the people. And when I interview people and I ask, did you know where Pearl Harbor was? 99.9% of them have said no. They had to get out maps. They had to get to the world globe, including an interview I found of my father online that where he said he was in the already in the service, Air Corps, and he walks in army, and he walks in and he sees everyone in the mess hall around the radio, and he thought, oh, this can't be good. And he walked over and he said, what's going on? He said, the Japanese just attacked Pearl Harbor. And he said, well, that's not right. That was everyone's instinct. It was not right. The Japanese had sent over their new ambassador to the White House to try and smooth things over. But if you read At Dawn We Slept, you would know that it was actually just a ploy to buy time for the preparation of their attack. So the world was spinning. The world was absolutely spinning at this moment. And unfortunately, we made a lot of mistakes. A war warning was sent out. The WINS code, the Japanese WINS code, was a code that said, if I say these words two times, then over the radio, that means we're going to war with America. It was heard. It was heard. The words were heard in unison. And lo and behold, the war warning went out. But unfortunately, in Hawaii, they didn't think they could do it. They just didn't think they could make that, you know, bring the carriers up to the north. They only were in the north, and we were only watching in the south. That was another thing. Our PBYs are the planes that were sent out in the morning to search the horizons were only working the south end of Oahu. So they came in the north, and the WINS code came out, and our Army person Short, Admiral Short, gathered the planes together in the middle and took out the guns because he was afraid that there would be sabotage. And nothing, Kimmel of the Navy, they weren't communicating well. They were angry with each other. So there wasn't this communication going on between them. And Admiral Kimmel didn't prepare well either. The biggest stroke of luck was having our destroyers out at sea. But, back to Roosevelt. The threat of war came in 14 different sections, and we were waiting for the 14th section. But as this book, The Final Secret of Pearl Harbor, points out, when that 14th section came in, we knew the time, we knew the day, the attack, but we didn't know the where. However, the people in charge and were out horseback riding or playing golf at the exact time when they knew to be ready. It was a real iffy thing. So why was that going on when there was supposed to be an attack somewhere? If the president himself did not want the attack to happen to draw the American people and get them 100% behind jumping head body, soul into this war.
Yeah, it's an interesting theory you're thinking about all of this. Denise, you know, you're talking about the winds coat, and the words were east, wind, rain.
Correct. East,
but there's
wind,
a lot, yeah, there's a lot of controversy surrounding this.
Yes,
and the magic machine that was used to break the code, because even today, U.S. analysts still insist that no hint in purple, which was part of what the magic
Japanese
machine code could read, right, of an impending Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. Nor could be, as the Japanese supposedly were very careful not to discuss their plan in the Foreign Office communications, and that's what they were being able to read, right? So there's still controversy about all this.
There's a lot of controversy about this, and there are some of the Japanese who believe magic never existed. However, there's so many records of it and so many books written about it that it did exist. And what it was they were reading the consulate's purple code. And actually, in several books, it will tell you that through reading purple code, that was how we won at Midway and how we were able to shoot Yamamoto out of the sky. Because we caught him midair and shot him out of the sky. But we also, our boats at Midway were pretty scattered, and we were actually in the wrong place. And through breaking the code of Midway, they gathered them back. So there is controversy around it. And there's actual still controversy about whether or not there were actual spies before World War II on American soil. And that one is a little bit harder to digest because everyone had spies. And now there are books coming out like Spies for Nippon by Tony Matthews and things of that sort that talk about how the spies were trained in Nakano in the Nakano Ward of Japan, starting in 1938 to prepare for the war. So while there's controversy still in existence, in fact, I've read interviews of some Japanese people who said that Japanese military who went to their deaths believing we never cracked the Purple Code. So it is hard. It is hard to come up with any conclusive evidence of what truly transpired. I think you had to have been there to see it and to hear it, but there's enough leading to it that makes it a pretty solid story.
Yeah. All right, we're going to get back to Denise Frisino on Orchids of War after the break. Stay with us.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Empowering Talk Radio, right here on America Now with Barb Adams.
And I said, hey,
all right, we're discussing the Arcus of War tonight with my guest, Denise Christina. And Denise, you know, talking about this whole buildup to our entry into the war, World War II, after the attack with Pearl Harbor, you know, so many people today seem to forget that you really need to understand history to know where you're at now and what's going on now in the country and where we're heading. And I think a lot of us, especially not knowing the history about this Japanese spy ring that operated along the West Coast between Canada and Mexico, is a big blank, because so many of us are familiar with what happened during that time, especially to Japanese American citizens. Over 127,000 United States citizens of Japanese ancestry were imprisoned during World War II right here in the U.S. You know, we recognize that time now as a dark mark on our country's record of recognizing civil liberties and cultural differences. But let's go to present day. You know, how do you see what's happening today with what's going on with a particular candidate, Trump, talking about, you know, banning and evacuating Muslims and trying to keep them all out and, you know, keeping Mexicans out? And any comparisons?
Well, it is amazing what's going on today. And we could reflect back and look at this time in history and say, where are the similarities and where is it leading us and what can we learn from them? From that point in time, the immediacy of World War II and the Japanese attacking, you know, Pearl Harbor, and then having submarines off our West Coast constantly. In fact, they were supposed to attack up and down the West Coast, the Japanese subs, on December 24th, 1941. But we manned up so quickly, and our shores were so full of people watching for the landing of the Japanese that they withdrew the boats. But there was a real scare, a very true scare. I was speaking with a woman yesterday who used to help her mother be a looker on the ocean on our coast, watching for the Japanese. So there was this immediate fear of them landing on our shore, and they wouldn't have made it very far because I don't think they understood how big our country was. But there was a very severe, very deep fear. And that is what propelled a lot of when they did ask the Japanese to move away from the military bases, the ocean, things of that sort. It was for the reason of would they help any Japanese from the homeland, and would they still be under the grip of the emperor? And so that was what was going on there. That played a real integral part in the decision. And some, by the way, just to clarify this, some did leave. 30,000 Japanese left the West Coast of their own volition and were not interned. So that's my next book. My next book touches on that, and there's a lot of going on in that that is included, and then it follows the same characters, of course, through World War II and what happens with them.
I want to jump in here just for a second, too. You know, with this dark mark on us about imprisoning our own citizens, and the ending of your book, and I'm not giving that away, it just tore my heart. You know, it just went right to me, thinking about knowing probably what was going to happen to some of these characters. But you have to wonder, did Roosevelt, allow this to happen and pull us into the war, parallel to 9/11? You know, you think about that kind of parallel. And then also, Germany and the Italians were already out there doing all this horror upon all these other countries in Europe. We had not yet been dragged into it. It wouldn't be until Pearl Harbor. But, when you think about we interned the Japanese, why not the Italians or the Germans?
But we did.
Okay.
We did.
Thank you.
We did intern some of them. Absolutely. In fact, we hung some German, but they were the actual spies that came ashore. But they came ashore with explosives and things, and that was on the East Coast. But we did intern some of the Italians and Japanese. It's never spoken of, but some of them were in the camps along with the Japanese.
Yeah, because I remember reading in history, I think, was it Secretary of State at the time back then, Henry Stimson, I believe, he said something like, well, we don't have to worry about the Italians. The Italians are potentially way less dangerous than the Japanese. And we can't mass evacuate Germans or do anything along those lines because, most of us are. I was like, wow.
I know. There's also the speculation that that one of the reasons that they wanted to put the Japanese in the relocation camps, and the reason they were called relocation camps was the initial intent was to relocate them west of the Mississippi. So anyway, just to get them away from the war front, from the ocean, but for the land. Some people claim that they wanted the farms because the Japanese were such beautiful farmers. And that was part of the intent behind the decision to do this. It's very difficult. I would not want to have been in anyone's shoes who had to make this decision. But then you have to remember that the Bataan Death March was happening just about this time too. And so, I mean, there's just so many elements at play in the decision to move these masses of people away from the potential of spying on our troops and telling how many, when our boats are going out and how many are on it and what the supplies are, et cetera. And we had a lot of boats sunk and shot at off of our coast by the Japanese submarines after Pearl Harbor. So that amplified the necessity as well. So it's hard to say. Like I said, I would not want to have been in the shoes of the person who made that choice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think all we can say is war is hell, and everything
war
goes
hell.
Out.
War is hell.
And nobody wants it. Well, usually, at least as Americans, I think I'll try to speak for all of us, we're a peace-loving, pacifist country for the most part.
I would like to hold that vision. I want to hold it, too. Yes.
I'm trying to hold it right now.
It's what we need to strive for and teach our children. And teaching them the reality of war and what led up to it, I think, is an important issue to try and divert it, to try and stop it.
And
not let it grasp us again as it did in the 1940s.
Yeah, my fear, I'm right there with you, Denise. I'm, you know, we're hearing a lot of speak out there. And when we hear hate, you know, being hate talk, and when we hear things, you know, banging those drums of war or things along those lines, it scares me, and I hope it scares most of us, that we need to really kind of rein things in here and think critically about where we've been and where we're going. Hope you agree.
I absolutely agree. And if you ever, ever think that war is beautiful or war is justified, speak to a vet.
Yeah.
Go out and look in their eyes and watch their whole demeanor fold and the mist come in their eyes when they speak of their experiences and what they have seen. I have sat with so many men who, one of them was unfortunately on the USS Bunker Hill when the kamikazes hit, and he told of the experience and what he went through, and that's going to be in my next book as well. So what I do is I take people's stories, and then I try and, like I said, place them in the appropriate part so people are aware that the places and the situations did exist.
Yeah,
in my book.
All right. Stay tuned. More to come here on America Now with Denise Christina on Orchids of War.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Introducing the fastest-growing digital currency company in the world, OneLife. With over 2.1 million members, OneCoin is becoming the most powerful force in digital currency. It reached over $1 billion in revenue in its first year. No other company has accomplished such an impressive feat. Now you can achieve financial independence with the strength of OneLife. Find out how to build your financial dreams. 877-933-4747. 877-933-4747. Dedicated to helping you create financial abundance.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline.
If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Do you ever feel like you're being watched? Like someone or some company is tracking your every move online? I know I do. That's why I trust Private Internet Access VPN to keep me safe when I'm online. I use it to encrypt my traffic and use an anonymous IP address. Private Internet Access keeps your internet traffic safe from unwanted eyes so you can finally feel safe. $40 a year for peace of mind is a no-brainer. Sign up today at privateinternetaccess.com. Once again, that's privateinternetaccess.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, it's John Dow Jr., author of the book Heroes, Mentors, and Friends. And you're listening to my hero, mentor, and friend, Barb Adams, on America Now.
All right, everybody. My guest this hour, Denise Fortino. We're talking about her fascinating book, Orchids of War.
Yeah.
The book is a historical novel based on a lot of facts, you know, and Denise, you know, you were mentioning to me a little bit, I'll just share with the listeners off air, that this book begged to be written. Why do you think?
Because the information literally came to me, fell in my lap, and said, please put me in. I mean, you can't ignore it when so much happens. Can I share one of them?
Sure.
Well, my father used to write for the Hearst papers for 35 years, and I didn't know this even existed. But when I made sure I was in every place I wrote about. So while in San Francisco, I was in the Sir Francis Drake, and that's how I found the little hidden room. Please go to the Sir Francis Drake and ask to see that room. And I was at Stanford. I went to Hawaii. I was there on December 7th. 2014, because it was a Sunday. I wanted to feel what it was like on a Sunday to wake up knowing that those planes were going to come at any moment. And I stood above Kaneohe, the naval base there, and I watched the sun. And yes, the moon was behind me. They say that the Japanese rode the moon in. The moon was behind me over the Pauli. I did all of this to be certain that the characters I created were living in a real world and were really showing the history of the time. But one of the miracles was a friend showed me this Xerox piece of paper. And she said, look, Denise, well, in December 7th, 2014, while I was away, Densho, which is a Japanese newspaper, which means to remember, had gone into their archives and pulled out an old video of a gentleman who had been on the Burma Road under Japanese snipers and was asked, you know, what was it like to come home, live next to the Japanese, and things of that sort. It turns out that the gentleman that they interviewed was my father, and it was a four-hour interview of my father that I did not even know existed. And the scariest part was he was answering the questions, most of the questions that I was asking in interviews this day. He had already been deceased for 6 years.
Wow.
And it was a treasure to find. And these were the kinds of miracles that kept coming to me. And when I was in Pearl Harbor, a friend of mine, Commander Jim Miller, was able to take me on Pearl Harbor, and the commodore of the submarine's base let me stand at the window where Admiral Kimmel was standing when he watched the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Very few people get to do that, and I was so excited to stand there and look out and just imagine his fear, his sadness, and the reactions he had watching his fleet being destroyed that day.
That's absolutely
other thing that you have to remember is the newspapers, there was only radio at that time. There wasn't TV, so there was only the newspapers, which were sending images back, and then there was the newsreels. So America was very angry at the attack. Most people have said that they're like, well, we felt like we had been fooled, and that they were very angry with the attack, but they didn't really see the images for days. So it's trying to live in that time period and trying to recreate it. I once had a professor at the University of Washington tell me, because I was in drama and theater, he said, pictures. You must depend on pictures for your history, for your characterization, for the way you stand, for your costumes, things of that sort. So wherever I go, I always go into the bookstores and I try and buy local books by local authors about that event, because there are things you might not find in other areas. So that's the kind of research and the kind of miracles, just one of many, many miracles I've had.
Yeah, I want to touch on that a little bit more, but first I definitely want to get it in here. Where can the listeners get your book?
Well, you can get it through my webpage. I will sign a copy to you and send it. It is, of course, there is an ebook form, and it's on Amazon. It's in the bookstores. You can go into your local bookstore. I love bookstores. We've got to keep them alive, and ask for them to order a copy as well, and they can find it through the local distributors if it's not already on the racks. It's just come out, so it's slowly moving that way.
Yep, and again, it's Orchids of War, and we won't even go into the title at this point. We don't, unfortunately, have enough time. But, you know, thinking about all this, all these synchronicities that aligned, and everything, I mean, even with your father, this book literally is begging to come out. Why do you think? Think about what's going on in our country right now and in the world. Any thoughts about all of it?
Well, I think that it's a warning, in a way, to stay alert to the situations that we are heading towards. And we can't allow this again. We can't allow this type of prejudice to overpower us and to turn a country. We need to find the facts out and to find out what's going on. And also, I wanted the Americans to know, all Americans of all races and religions and creeds, that there were other circumstances leading up to, you know, to the decisions that were made during the war, and how horrible and ugly, ugly war is, and we certainly don't want to step that way again.
Yeah, we certainly don't. You know, America, to me, we're kind of the last great hope on this planet sometimes, as far as being the people who, in times of whatever, we always pull together and work together to find the right solutions and bring this planet back into peace. And I hope we never have to go to a World War III or even anything close to it again.
Absolutely. You know,
or even here at home. To be so divided right now, Denise, we need to pull together. I think one of the key things we need to remember is we are all Americans. That's what makes us great.
Barb, I couldn't agree with you more, and thank you for saying that, because it is what makes us great. I mean, look at how many different nationalities are in your bloodstream.
Yes, we're all immigrants, for heaven's sakes, here.
Right.
Unless you actually have Native American blood in you, hey, you know, we're all immigrants here.
And we do not need a warmonger in the lead.
No.
There's a great book out called America Invades, and it's enlightening in that it shows almost every single country we have invaded.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that there aren't a lot of people who are jealous, seemingly jealous of what we have and want what we have. And, you know, so it's a balancing act, but we all need to step up to the plate and learn all circumstances. There's two sides, three sides, four sides to every story. You know, we have to bear that in mind before we step into some terrible situation.
Yeah, exactly. Before we go shooting off the mouth and do something we absolutely regret. You know, Denise, with your book, you've done a beautiful job of showing all the different sides in your book, and I hope people do read Orchids of War. It will get you thinking about a lot of things, not only then, but now and again. You know, we need to be emphasizing how important history is to understand how we got where we are and where we're going. Denise, what do you hope readers take away most?
I love the characters. I hope they enjoy my characters. I hope they get a sense of history as it was, and I hope that it inspires them to do their own research. If you're not believing what I said or some of the facts that I have presented through my characters, look it up. See what you can find and start thinking and start teaching conflict. Start teaching how conflict resolution, I guess,
yes,
is what I would say. I taught middle school for years. You know, you've got to have that out there. We've got to train to not get into another war.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that, I'm quickly going to put it out there. One of the lines that hit me hardest was, the demoralizing war with all its brutality, death and destruction had found them first in paradise. I still get chills when I read that line.
Thank you. Yes.
All right. Thank you, Denise. I really appreciate it. Again, everyone, the book is Orchids of War.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-954-9674. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-954-9674. That's 1-800-954-9674. 1-800-954-9674.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.